Rabbeisai, good morning. We'll try to learn together a few psukim in this week's parasha Vayakel. And if anybody has any areas or any questions, please feel free to ask. You can have a dialogue rather than a monologue, just me talking. The first pasuk in the parasha Vayakel, Moshe is called Adas B'nei Yisrael. So before the Torah says what Moshe was going to tell Klal Yisrael, the Torah says that he was Makil Klal Yisrael. He brought them together. In other tzivuyim, we don't find that he was makil the whole tzibur together. We take it for granted that either they were all there, or the majority was there, or there were shluchim that passed it on. Over here, the Torah says, "Vayakel Moshe." It seems it was a very important message that was being conveyed to Klal Yisrael. Rashi tells us when, at what point in history was this? We're talking here in a story just last week's parsha we read about the terrible catastrophe, the Chet HaEgel. Klal Yisrael is going on a roller coaster. They went from the biggest heights of Matan Torah. Tremendous things happened in Matan Torah. What Klal Yisrael saw at that time, Porcha Nishmatam, they had to be revived. They passed out. They couldn't contain the Gilui Oyer that took place at Matan Torah. And somehow or another, there's something that needs to be understood and needs to be really analyzed, but somehow or another, within a few days, within 40 days, they descended to the lowest pit that a Yid could ever reach. They fell into the abyss of Avodah Zarah. The biggest mezida in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara refers it to a kala, the teicha chupa, that's mezana. But so at what point was this vayakil? When was it that Moshe gathered the people to convey to them the message of this week's parasha? So Rashi says this was l'mocharat yom ha-kippurim. L'mocharat yom ha-kippurim, the day following Yom Kippur. The day following Yom Kippur is the day which Klal Yisrael was waiting for. Moshe Rabbeinu went up on high. And he went for what purpose? He went to atone for Klal Yisrael. To bring kapara, to bring a tikkun to Klal Yisrael. 40 days it took, and 40 days later he came back and he had the message. What's the message? Somehow or another Klal Yisrael could continue. The Vachal Oysam Karega, that gzeira of Kloya that was hanging over Klal Yisrael was removed. Moshe Rabbeinu interceded, Mechenin Amisif Rucha, and Rebisha was Mechaper them. And this is what he's going to tell them. Here is your tikkun. This is the takono for Chet HaEgel. And that's what the Ramban says, the Zohar says, the Medrash say, that the whole idea of the Mishkan was a kapara for Chet HaEgel. That which they digress, that their sin of Egel was going to be atoned for it, the tikkun for it was by building a Mishkan. The Egel was a Siluk Shechina, and the Mishkan was bringing down the Shechina. Bringing down the Shechina into the world. But we find something interesting. Before Moshe Rabbeinu goes on to talk about the Mishkan, he introduces the halachas of Shabbos. Changes the only tells him halacha b'yom ha'shi Shabbos l'Hashem. And the Mefarshim ask, how does Shabbos come in over here? Shabbos is something they knew already. Klal Yisrael is waiting, they're yearning to hear the message, what's going to be, and what did he say? He starts repeating the halachas of Shabbos. How does Shabbos fit into the picture over here? And this is our question this morning, Rabbi Yisai. What's the connection between Shabbos and the Mishkan? And what's the connection between Shabbos and Chet HaEgel? It's important to understand, the Gemara says that Chet HaEgel was, the Gemara says, Boy, how you throw the Uyim Uyisei Maisa? Chet HaEgel is really something that shouldn't have come to pass. The reason why it happened, of course it happened with the Tchir of Klal Yisrael, but the reason why they were allowed to fall to such lows was so that there should be a tikkun. There should be a kapar. One of the great Chassidish Rebbes once said that it says, the Gemara says, that ain't other noikef et boi lamato elim came machrizin all of lamayla. So the person is not, doesn't bump his finger unless they're machriz lamayla. So he asked, what are they machriz lamayla before he doesn't have it? What do they say? Reuben is about to go do an Aveir. L'mayla, they know how it works. Yediyah, Bechirin, dealt with the Rishonim, and the Rebbe Shalom knows in advance that you're going to do an Aveir. Nonetheless, you have the choice to do it or not to do it. But the Rebbe Shalom is not limited by time, and he knows this is going to happen. And everything is announced in heaven before it happens. So what do they say? He says, when he's going to do an Aveir. You can't say that. That's what they say. So and so is going to do an Aveir. So he said like this. He said that this Yid, just opened a new Pesach for Tshuva. Avada Tanaveira, for which he deserves an English. But nonetheless, from a higher perspective, there's something happening. And this is what Rashi says, Legabe that the reason was for anyone that's ever going to do an Aveda in the future, they should know that there is kapara. Because Klal Yisrael went to such lows and they came back and they returned to be the Klal Yisrael that they now are, is a simon that every year, that no matter how far he goes, Afal Pi Shechati Yisrael Hu, that was accomplished through the tikkun for Chetei. So this tikkun is very, very important. This is a very fundamental idea for the whole future of Klal Yisrael. And the tikkun is going to be in the Maisa HaMishkam. And yet we read about Shabbos in between. So the Rechaim HaKadosh says that there has to be the pshat that Shabbos over here is part of the tikkun. Shabbos is part and parcel of the kapara for Chet HaEgel. Shabbos is not just a b'sa'agav. Moshe Rabbeinu is bringing us together. Let's first talk a little halacha shir hilchos Shabbos, and then we'll come back to making repairs for the ego. Shabbos is negeya to the tikkun. Very good. Yes. Correct. That's the Pashto Pshat, correct. Fine. But the Rechaim says otherwise, and even in the Pashto Pshat, why is it taken? I mean, a Pshat, we're not Beirish time at the Kribah. Why is it taken that we learn all Hilchos Shabbos from the Mishkan? We could think up of other ways how the Seder could have communicated to us the Lamatas Malachis, not via the Mishkan. Yeah? So in Pshat, that's not a Kasher, but in Drush, there must be an intrinsic connection between the Mishkan and Shabbos. Somehow or another, Malachis Shabbos, Shvisami Malachis Shabbos, is equated with building a Mishkan. So this is the question we have. Now when we take a closer look at the actual way that the halachas of Shabbos are conveyed over here, we see something very interesting. Pasuk says, and then comes Pasuk Beis. Sheshes yamin te'osem malacha, u'bayoyim ha'shvi yiyah lachem kedesh Shabbos Shabbosim la'shem. Kol ha'oysa boi malacha, yumus. So the question is, why did I have to say sheshes yamin te'osem malacha? Why does the Torah have to say for 6 days you should work? When the Torah says you should eat matzahs on Leila Seder, it doesn't say for 364 days you can eat chametz, or for 359 days you can eat chametz, but for this week you should eat matzahs. Or it says you should sleep in a sukkah. It doesn't say for 51 weeks a year you should sleep in your house, and 1 week you should sleep in the sukkah. Over here the Torah says for 6 days you should do malacha. And then it says the seventh day should be Shabbos. Why does it have to mention the 6 days of Malacha? And another question, in the way that it formulates it, it doesn't say you should do Malacha. It says Te'ose Malacha. What does Te'ose Malacha mean? Te'ose Malacha means Malacha should be done. Should have said Ta'ase Malacha. If there wasn't an Ikud in the Chumash, I would read Ta'ase Malacha. And I wouldn't be Yoyte Piyas HaTorah if I read it that way. Ta'ase is not Te'ose. If you Mishana an Ikud and it changes the Pshat in the word, you're not Yoyte Piyas HaTorah. So te'oseh means malacha should be done. Ta'aseh means you should do malacha. What's the difference between the two? So these are all questions that really will help us understand, based on this Erech Chaim, what is Shabbos and why is Shabbos so significant and why is Shabbos so fundamental in Klal Yisrael that when it came, they came from the pit of the Egel, the first thing Moshe Rabbeinu says is Shabbos. You stick on the Shabbos. And then build a Mishkan. But Shabbos. Why Shabbos? What's the significance of Shabbos? You know, the Velt says Shabbos is called the Ois. I think they say a marshal from the Chofetz Chaim that a person was in town and he wants to go buy something in the shop. So he goes to the shop, he leaves his house in the shtetl, he goes to the shop and he sees that the shutter is down. It's closed. So he looks into the window, he sees that the goods are still there on the shelf and the sign is still up on the wall, but the balabas is not there, so he figured maybe he's ill today. He comes back the next day, he sees not only is the balabas not there and the shutter is down, but the shelves are empty. The shelves are empty. There's nothing on the shelves. So he figures, maybe he's restocking. Maybe he made a sale last night, and now he's restocking. He comes back the third day, and he sees that the sign is off the wall. He sees that the sign is off the wall. He says, no, this shop closed down. The shop closed down. It's not shop, it's a satellite. If the sign is off the wall, it means he's closing shop. So he says, that's shop, and Shabbos is a ois. Why is Shabbos a ois? Person is nichshel here, he's nichshel there. There's still, he's still alive. His Yiddishkeit is still alive. Still alive. He's missing. Of course, he has to be in attacking. But if the sign is taken off, something totally has gone wrong. And that's when the sign of Shabbos, that's why Shabbos is called the Ois. Yes, that's the Ois. But there's a deeper understanding why Takeh Shabbos and Ois. What is Shabbos? Why is Shabbos so basic to Klal Yisrael? So if we're going to look at Shabbos as a tikkun for Avodah Zarah, we first have to analyze what is Avodah Zarah, what is the basis of Avodah Zarah.
And the Rambam says in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, how did it come to pass that intelligent people became Avodah Zarah? How did it come to pass that a Klal Yisrael, forget about the Goyim, Nu Asrei Mishkin Kasher, right? But a Klal Yisrael should speak. Eila Lekecha Yisrael Asher Yitzrecha Mimitzrayim on an Egel. What? No, that's not correct. So what's going on? So the Rambam says in Hilchos Avodah Zarah that Bimei Enosh, up until the times of Enosh, people had their heads on straight. Bimei Enosh, they started with one toast. They started with a small mistake. And that mistake developed and evolved until it reached the point of Avodah Zarah. What was the basis of the mistake? Says the Rambam, that they understood that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is the one who created the world. They had no suffix about it. They knew that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam created the world and continues. Even Amchadish Batuvi B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh V'Reishis. This was common knowledge even to the Goyim. Even to the Goyim. The mistake was that they thought that in addition to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, on top of that, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam uses certain forces to bring about the kingdom of the world. So to make you healthy, he uses this force. To make you wealthy, he uses that force. Different mazolas, different kaychis. And those things have powers as an intermediary. And the Rambam goes on to say why it's a shtus and it's not nonsense. It's like somebody would thank the axe for chopping the tree. It's the person, not the axe. But on Koponim, that was the shaydish of their mistake. The shaydish of the mistake of Avodah Zarah. The basis of the mistake of Avodah Zarah was the idea that in addition to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, there's also another force. There's another power out there in the world that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam uses for his convenience. And it's totally coupled to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, not as independent power. But it has a consciousness of its own. And therefore, could I to, you know, if you give the waiter a tip, you get a better piece of meat. The cook in the back, but the waiter has something to say. So that was the basis of their first deviation. And from that, it went on all the way to Avodah Zarah Mamish. They started worshipping things that resemble it until it became Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Yisai, shot in the Eir HaChaim. Eir HaChaim says, Avodah Zarah Mamish, Eir HaChaim. Chaim says, "Lama chazer oid letzaveis al Shabbos, achas shekratziva kama pam, veoid lama tziva lof samach lamitzas me'asa amishkan, uvidvareinu yavi al nachayim, ki yitzav Hashem al tikun ha'ovar, kidei sheyihiyu mukhsharim lishkoyim besoicham, u'mitzva Shabbos sheshkula kekol ha'toira hi takonat avodah zarah." Shabbos is takonat for avodah zarah. Ko'im rebin the pasuk in Yeshaya, "Ashrei enesh yatzoi." And the Gemara in Shabbos says, "Kol Hashem Shabbos ki luchotzoi afilu avad Avodah Zarah ki doit enosh moichlin lo." So we see that Shabbos is the antidote for Avodah Zarah, and the question is why. Abayisai, Shabbos isn't only a day where you abstain from doing certain actions. Shabbos is not a day where you stop from doing X or doing something else. Shabbos is a day where you're entirely in the environment of kedusha. Not only shvisa mimalacha. Shabbos is a day when there's nothing but the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Shabbos is a day not only when the shutter of the shop is closed, but when the shop doesn't exist. There's nothing but Kedushas HaShabbos. Kulei LaHashem. That's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is a day where you're the other extreme of any possibility of Avodah Zarah whatsoever. Shabbos is when there's nothing but Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That's all there is. Snapshot, I can't technically speak to my stockbroker today because the child will speak to him tomorrow. The stockbroker doesn't exist. I am secure in the fact that I am now in an environment of Kedusha where everything will be provided for me. There's nothing there. Shabbos is the absolute betochim and dependency on the Eibusher himself. And that's the opposite of Avodah Zarah. What the Sheshes Yomim take osem malacha? The truth is, that there's a strong kasha. How could you do malacha? How could you do malacha for 6 days? If it's the case that, like we say in benching, Hazonet Ha'olam Kulei Betuvoi, who knows in Lechem Lachol Basach Ilayim Chazdei that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is the one who's going to provide for you tomorrow morning, then why should you go out and work? And the truth is, there's a Shevet Levi that doesn't go out and work, and there always was a Shevet Levi that doesn't go out and work. They say a story about Reb Zusha, that Reb Zusha had a shamish, and the shamish was a simple man, and he used to bring him his meals, and the Pashtet of the Olam was provided that there should be enough for Reb Zusha to live. And Reb Zusha, before he began his meal, every day he used to turn to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam used to say, "Zusha is hungry." And when the Shamash heard that, he would put the plate on the table, and he would finish whatever he ate, and he would go back to his Avodas Hashem. So once the Shamash got upset, or maybe the Shamash was replaced with someone else who got upset,
And he said, what do you mean the Bani Shalom is just a song? I'm the one who's giving you the food. Let's see what's going to happen one day if I don't give you the food. The Kacha the Maisha. Reb Zusha says, the Bani Shalom, Zusha is hungry, and the Shamash doesn't bring in the food. And I don't remember the details of what happened, but at that moment, somebody appeared with a full meal. He said he wants to have the schus of bringing or something for the Rebbe, and he put it down on the table, and Reb Zusha ate, and he didn't even notice that something was different to any other day. That's the truth. If that's the reality, then how do you go out and work? How do you go out and work? So the Torah says over here, Sheishes Yamim Te'osem Melacha. Sheishes Yamim Te'osem Melacha is the prerequisite for having Shabbos Shabbosim LaHashem. If it's Te'osem, if it's done with a passivity, if it's done in a way that you appreciate that it's being done for you, you're doing the work, but you're just a means. You're just a vehicle via which the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to provide for you. You have to make your establishment so that the Rebbeinu Shalom will see to it that you get what you need. If you have that te'oseh, then it's Shabbos LaHashem. Then on Shabbos you could rest, because you know that even the 6 days, why are you doing it? You're doing it because the Rebbeinu said so. Not because you understand, because you decided. So this was Moshe Rabbeinu's message to Klal Yisrael. He says, what's the antidote for Avodah Zarah? You have to go back to the original source. What happened to you? Where did you go wrong? Go to the beginning. You know, they say if somebody's traveling with an airplane, and he's going, he wants to go from New York to Tel Aviv, and he's going in this direction, because let's say he deviates one inch, he deviates in that way, from there to there, an inch. He's going to land in a totally different destination. He's going to make it somewhere totally different. You have to go back to the Shoyrish. What is the Shoyrish of Avodah Zarah? And that's why the Rambam explains to us the Shoyrish of Avodah Zarah. The Rambam of Avodah Zarah is not a history book. The Rambam is telling us that we understand what is the Shoyrish. And the Shoyrish of Avodah Zarah is this idea that there's anything out there but for the Rebbeinu Shalom himself. So therefore, the tikkun is Shoyrish Yamim Te'osem Melacha and Shabbos. That you live your 6 days of the week on the level that you appreciate that it's all coming milamayla, and then you have a real Shabbos. That's the tikkun for Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos that in general, whenever a person goes wrong in something, Rambam says he compares the Tikkun HaNefesh to the Tikkun HaGuf. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos has a doubt, he starts, he says, Hayoyis HaGuf, Bari Midarkei Avodas Hashem. And he gives a few pages on medicine, and how you should behave, and how you should conduct your life in a healthy way. And he says that just like it's the case in physical health, that if a person went to one extreme, he ate too many fat foods rather than lean foods, then he has to go to the other extreme. So too is the tikkun for anything in tikkun amido, he says he has to go to the opposite extreme. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, this is what has to happen. You have to go to the other extreme. So this is what the Rechaim says, that the Shabbos that was given over here was a different type of Shabbos. Was a Shabbat that permeates the 6 days of the week. Was a Shabbat that lifts you higher than anything out there other than the Rebbeinu Shalom himself. The Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchas the first time, when he broke the Luchas, what happened to those Luchas? The Torah doesn't say. The Luchas fell on the bottom of the mountain. What happened to the Luchas? Huh? Maybe somebody collected them and put them on eBay. What? Yes, but what does it say? Where do they put the luchos? The Gemara says, and Bavata says, Shibre luchos menachem bar. Shibre luchos menachem bar. The kasha is, why put the Shibre luchos in the Aron? The Aron is the Kodesh HaKadosh. The Aron is the holiest place in Klal Yisrael where the Kohen Gadol went in only once a year. Yeah, once a year. Mel says, Avar from the Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov once said that the holiest person in the world was the Kohen Gadol, and the holiest place in the world was the Kodesh HaKadosh. The holiest place in the world, the holiest day in the year, is Yom Kippur. Said the Baal Shem Tov. That once a year, these three things came together. The Kohen Gadol went into the holiest Kodesh HaKadoshim on the holiest day of Yom Kippur. These three levels came together, and that was the biggest Kedusha Klal Yisrael ever experienced. Says the Baal Shem Tov that the truth is that if a Yid really wants, and it's not just a nice word, it's a tremendous amkus, but if a Yid really wants, he says, every single day could be Yom Kippur. And every single place could be the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Which place? The place in which you are right now. And every person could be the Kohen Gadol if he chooses to, at that moment. So Begolui, in the geography of the world, there was one Kayin Shekadashim, and there was one Kayin Gadol, and there was one moment of Yom Kippur, but in truth, this is something that can happen every single time. Because Ayid could go to levels that break through all the mechitas, all these barriers, all these different levels of Kedusha are only on one external level, but if you go beyond that, if you bring out what's called the deepest point of a person's neshama, then he's on the level of the Kohen Gadol, and he's on the level of Yom Kippur, and he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But Sof, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So why put the Shivrei Luchis there? What were the Shivrei Luchis? The Shivrei Luchis were l'chayra, a remembrance for the tremendous tragedy of Chet HaEgel, which the Gemara says, to this very day we suffer from Chet HaEgel. I would have thought there should be something they should burn, they should get rid of it, there shouldn't be any memory of it. Why would the Shiva Luchas put in the Kodesh HaKadoshim together, in the Aron, together with the Luchas? Understand, the Vart is that Sof Kol Sof, once something happened, once a person did have a Shavir, once a person did go through an experience that was negative, there are two ways of responding to it. One way is by moving on, forgetting about it, going beyond it, moving further. That's important. It's not important to dwell on things. You have to move on. But there's a deeper level of response. And that is that you grow from it. That's what the Gemara says, Benin Nasis Le Kizachias, B'makim Shabali Tshuva, Eindim, Ein Tzadikim, Gemurim, Yechaylim, Lamed. Why? Because they take with themselves that negative experience and they transform that into good. The experience of Chet HaEgel, the Shivrei Luchais gave Klal Yisrael a big contribution. This is what the Eirach Chaim says. They gave them this idea, this absolute connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam that is to the exclusion of anything else whatsoever. They say a word from the Kotzker Rebbe that the Kotzker Rebbe once said. This is what they say. They say that he said that there are three things that are incorrect. Three things that are people use the wrong word. One of them, he said, was that in Yiddish they say for a joke, they say a gleich vertu. A gleich vertu means a straight word. Straight word. They said there's nothing as crooked as a straight word. A gleich vertu is always crooked. You say something, you twist the words to make somebody smile. It's not gleich, so why are you calling it a gleich vertu? The Welt says that there's a kruma later. If you have a ladder, if you want to climb up to the roof, you put it on an angle, you put it on a slant. So he said there's nothing as straight as a crooked ladder. If you put it up straight, how are you going to get anywhere? So, and he said there's nothing as complete as a broken heart. That's not something broken. That's something complete. The Shivrei Luchis represent the idea that Klal Yisrael, by default, reached a point where they acknowledge and they realize that they can accomplish nothing. Not in their Gashmias and not in their Ruchnias. On both of these levels, everything comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, Sof Kol Sof. Yes. Enechanam. That's for sure the same. The Chet HaEgel is not something that we celebrate. Chas v'shalom. We're not saying that there's a Chet HaEgel. But the Shivrei Luchos, have within them the tikkun that came forth. It resulted in the new Luchos. It resulted in this message that Moshe Rabbeinu gives Klal Yisrael right here in Parshas Vayakel. The Medrash says on the pasuk Mi'ikti Mani Va'Ashalim. So the pasuk Iyov says, is anybody giving me anything that I should give him back? So the Medrash gives a whole arichus of things that people, so to speak, are doing for the sake of the Ribbono Shel Olam. They're giving, they're putting a mezuzah on the house, they're giving hours to learn Torah, they're giving tzedakah. So the Medrash says, Mi'ikti mani va'ashalim. Any of this that you receive from me. There's nothing that you have that is not from me. So Sof Kol Sof, this is the message of Chet HaEgel, and this is the message of Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael, that everything comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Even if a person accomplishes tremendous heights in Torah, you know, a person learns tremendous amounts. So the Mishnah says, Lekach Neitzarta, it's not about you being rewarded. That's true as well. Of course it's a reward. But the covet that you give to someone is because he contains Torah. And who gave him the Torah? The Baruch Hu gave him the Torah. There's a Gemara in Gittin, where the Gemara discusses, Gittin Davzayim, the Gemara discusses a person by the name of Gineva. Gineva was the name of a person who... one of the Amoraim, I can't remember now, he sent a question to another Amora, and he said, I want to give over Gineva Lemalchus. Am I allowed to? Because he's causing me so much heartache that I want to master on him. That he should be
So the Amar answers, don't master them, you should daven. And the end was that a neighbor was taken, and he was taken to Lekoiler. He was taken to be executed. A few pages later, because we're learning Gittin, Gemara in the end of Hanizokin, the Gemara says that Geneva was coming along, and the Amiraim were sitting by the side of the road, and they saw Geneva, and they were discussing, should we stand up for him, or should we not stand up for him? So one of them said, we should stand up for him, because he's a Bar Uriam, he's a Talmud Chacham. And the other said, we shouldn't stand up for him, because he's a Bar Pluk, because he used a Bar Machlekes, he had some sort of a din of a Zake Mamre or something. So what's the Machlekes over here? If he's a Zake Mamre, why should he stand up for him? I don't know, I didn't look what the Mepharshim say. But the Pashtus is, we just learned Gemara the other day, but the Pashtus is that what's the thing if somebody holds a Sefer Torah? Somebody's holding a Sefer Torah. Somebody comes along and he's holding a Sefer Torah. Do you have to stand up for him? And what if that somebody was holding the Sefer Torah of the Rosh? Do you have to stand up for him? It's a Kasha. What? So you're standing up for the Sefer Torah, not for him. So this was the argument over here. One of the Amoraim said he's a Barulian. He has a Sefer Torah in his head. It's not about him. He has a Sefer Torah in his head. Tough call, fluff. He has a Sefer Torah in his head. You have to stand up for the Torah that's in his head. And the other one said, no. The way it came into his head is already a different, it's not like you're holding a Sefer Torah, which is a separate entity. But I'll call fun him. If a person did attain Torah and a person is given cover to whatever it is, it's not because of who he is, it's because of what he was given. And Torah was Torah's civil animation. I just want to finish with a story on this note of Shivrei Luchois Monachim Ba'arim. The Shivrei Luchois contribute to who Kal Yisrael eventually is. And every person has his own individual Shivrei Luchois. Every person could look back and experience this and say, look, this is something that shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have happened, so therefore I can pretend it didn't happen, or I can move on as if it didn't happen, or I can grow from it. I can gain from it. It can contribute to who I am. So the Velt says a Maisa. I don't know where the Mukka this Maisa is, but I once heard this Maisa. That there was this man, he lived on top of a hill, and in his house he had two pots. And every day he would go down to the bottom of the hill to the river, and he would fill up his two pots with water, and he would bring it up to his house. And those pots were what the family lived off for the day. That's what they drank, and that's what they cooked with, and so on. The mice is that this kid was a big Araman, he didn't have money. So one of his pots had a hole in it. And he used to schlep up the hill from the bottom to the top. By the time he got to the top of the hill, the pot on the right side remained full. Every drop of water that was put into that pot was there. The pot on the left side, by the time he got to the top, 30% of the water was gone. But he had no choice, and this is what he would do every single day. So the mindset goes like this, that after a couple of years, this pot that had a hole in it felt very sad for himself, and he felt sorry. I can't even do my job, I can't even bring the water, 30% gets lost every day, and he looks at his companion, and he's always coming there full, so he turns to the Yid, and he says, Yid, I feel so sorry, I feel terrible, I'm a loser, my life is waste, I have a hole in myself, and everything goes out, 30% goes out. So the Yid tells him, take a look, when we go back up, I want you to look out, and you'll notice that on the right side, when I'm going up, there's just dirt and earth, but on the left side, under your path, there are beautiful plants and flowers that are growing. Why? Because I saw you had a hole. If there was a hole, I figured I'll plant seeds over there, and as a result, we'll have beautiful flowers. So it's thanks to your hole, the hole in the pot, and thanks to my brain, that we made something out of it. That is the message of Pasha Vayakil. Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael that as a result of Chet Ego, coming from Chet Ego, we can say, okay, we have Slicha and Kapara, we'll move back, we'll be the same Klal Yisrael like we were. The Rechaim says, no, we need to have a different Shabbos. We need to have a different Sheishes Yomim Teos and Melocha. That's all part and parcel of the Binyan HaMishkan. Binyan HaMishkan means bringing Shechina, bringing Kedusha to Klal Yisrael. When a Yid does his Sheishes Yomim Teos and Melocha, the way a Yid is supposed to do it, with the Hebrews and all the halachas that they know, Gezel, etc., and he does it with the right level of bitachin and the right balance of bitachin and ishtadlus, then that is Binyan HaMishkan. That's why we learn it from Binyan HaMishkan. And then someone like that can have a Shabbos. Then he can have a real Shabbos, a Shabbos Shabbos in Lashem. Habisai, Hatzlocha Rabbah, have a good day.